Turn to Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7. Village had a gathering on Sunday afternoon at the Fireman's Park, and there was probably about 300 people there. Patriotic gathering and support for our country, and grieving for those innocent people that lost their lives, and it was a good time. It was Uncle Dave wasn't able to; he was asked to attend and take part. He wasn't able to, so he called and asked if I would do that. And so when I went there, I met with a fellow who was putting the program together, and I told him who I was and representing the Blaisdell Gospel Chapel. And he said, "Oh yes, I have a slot right here for you." I said, "I'd like to read a few verses if I could before I have a word of prayer." And he said, "That's fine." He says, "You can share. You can read verses." He says, "People are looking for comfort, and anything that you can share would be appreciated." So I read some verses in Psalm 62. Maybe we could just read those. I wasn't sure if I could read any when I went there, but I had these verses in mind. And I began with verse 5. "My soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Emphasizing the fact that he's our salvation, he's our defense, and especially he's our refuge. He's our refuge for us, and it's great to know that we have a refuge in these days. We have a place of comfort, of safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's a rock of my salvation. And then especially in verse 8, trust in him at all, in all times. At all times. And he's emphasizing that if our trust is only in this world, then it's going to fade away. But our trust needs to be in God, in him, in his hope, in our strength is found in him. So that was a few verses that I had shared. And then had a word of prayer. But I think it's a good opportunity to give out the word of God when an opportunity comes, and to share things, verses from Scripture that can be of comfort and help. Job chapter 7. And verse 17. Last week we looked at the phrase, "What is man?" And Hebrews says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Of course, he's quoting there from Psalm chapter 8. So the question, "What is man?" is found several times in Scripture, and I thought we might look at it again here in Job 7 and verse 17. "What is man that thou shouldst magnify him, and that thou shouldst set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldst visit him early every morning, and try him every moment? How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? I have sinned, What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? Why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away mine iniquity? And now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. One of the questions that Job asks is, what is man that God should magnify him? What is man that thou shouldst magnify him? Why does God seek to magnify man? Job's comforters, as we read, always came back to the question of sin. It is said of Job that he was a righteous man. He was upright, one that feareth God and shunned evil. He was a righteous man. And yet so often it was brought up in his comforters that it's because of sin, Job, that you're suffering. It's because of your sin. And we know that as Job continues, and as the comforters continue to come around him and to seek by their wisdom to justify his in his suffering, through it all, God had a reason for it. God's will was being worked out in the life of Job. Job was blessed many times over in the end, many times. But what is man that God should magnify him? If you have a hard time reading some whatever, a newspaper or whatever you're reading, you take a magnifying glass, don't you? And you can put it in front of you, and it enlarges it, and so that you can read it clearly, doesn't it? A magnifying glass is something that is very helpful. It enlarges. And you know, that's what God wants to do. He wants to enlarge us. He wants man to be enlarged and to go forward. What is man that thou shouldst magnify him or enlarge him and make things clear? Why does God set his love upon us? What is man that God should magnify him? God's plan, when we see in Scripture, is a magnifying plan, isn't it? It points to the ultimate glory of God that's going to be revealed. The magnitude of God's plan is tremendous when we see in Scripture. When we see the fact that he's calling together those of in his church, the bride, those who believe, those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, he's bringing together his bride. One day that will be complete when he comes for his own, for his bride. We'll be caught up to meet him, with him. That's part of the magnifying of man that God has in his plan. And God wants each one of us to enlarge in our spiritual walk daily with him. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. In verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and that's verse 25, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. God has hid things from the wise and the prudent, but he's revealed them to us as babes. Those of us who have simple faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who does not depend or look to the wisdom of the world, those that are to be the theological teachers, of those that are to know the wisdom of the world and all the rest. We don't look to men. And God revealed the things of himself to simple babes. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about it's not the wise, it's not the rulers of this world that God has called. But he's chosen the foolish things, the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty. Because God wants to magnify them. God wants to enlarge them. Man, when feeling that he's sufficient in himself, that he doesn't need God, that he's got it all figured out, God cannot magnify unless they come in simple faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a tremendous plan, doesn't he? He's not revealed it to the wise or the prudent. He's revealed them to babes. Those that are ready and willing to learn, a heart to go forth, a heart that can be magnified and grow and become mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the ones that God has chosen to magnify. Even so, it seemeth good in the sight of God. Now notice, Job says, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him. God has set his heart upon man. When God sees the wickedness of men in the day in which we're living, the heart of God must be grieved to see the way that man is going. To see the things of this world and that he's pushed aside and the world is taking his place. But in the midst of it all, God is putting together his own church, those who know and love the Lord and those who are redeemed the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood. In spite of the way the world is going, he has his own, and that God wants to magnify unto himself. He's chosen them in the midst of a wicked world. There's light in a dark world, isn't it? And it's a wonderful thought. We're not in darkness as the world. And we're not in darkness in light of God's plan. We're in his light. We need to walk in his light. He set his heart upon us. God has a heart of love, doesn't he? He has a heart of compassion. If he didn't, we got what we duly deserve. We deserve far less. We don't deserve what we have. We don't deserve anything, but it's according to His purpose He's given to us. If man got what he deserved, judgment would be upon him and hell would be his doom. God has saw fit to have compassion upon man. He has not forsaken us, but his heart is upon man. He loves us. He has a heart of love, a heart of compassion. But he's a God of justice as well. Judgment awaits those who reject Him. Notice in verse 28, very familiar verse, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is one of the verses that we see the expression of the heart of the Lord Jesus of Himself. One of the great I Ams that He speaks, "I'm meek and lowly in heart." He's meek. He wants to magnify man. And He came and humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that man might be magnified. In His humiliation, in His death on the cross, His humble walk here on earth, His obedience to the Father, His suffering on the cross, such agony, such torment in the cruel hands of men, the expression of His humility. His heart is full of meekness, and His ear has ever bent low to hear the cry of man. He's meek and He's lowly. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. In verse 5, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon a donkey, and the colt, the foal of a donkey." Here is spoken of the Lord Jesus as the King. And again it's quoted from Zechariah. That he is the King cometh unto thee and is meek. That's not common of the nature of a king, is it? A king is one who is proud of his royalty. He has a high position, doesn't he? Recognized as the king. But here's a very, very unique king. He's meek. He's lowly in heart. He has a heart of meekness. And he's sitting upon a donkey. A king sits upon a royal throne, doesn't he, as men would see it. He sits in the highest position. Recognize he's the king. He's in the palace. He's in the place of royalty. But here was the Lord Jesus, who was meek and lowly in heart. And he came and he sat upon such a lowly beast. He was a man of lowliness. He had every right to sit upon a majestic throne. He had every right to it. And obedience and humility to the Father. As an obedient son, he humbled himself. He was just as much a king sitting upon such a lowly beast as Isaiah saw the vision of glory. He saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple and so on. And he saw him there sitting upon the throne. But he left that throne. And he came and in humility and meekness, he came to do the will of God. And he sat upon such a lowly beast. But he's a king. But yet he was a meek man. His ear was ever bent to the cry of man. Think of those that were healed. Many that were healed when he was here on earth in his public ministry. He went to the very lowliest of men and magnified them. One who was sick of a palsy, another man who was born blind, and so on. Many illustrations and many times when he healed them. As he reached down to men in their need and healed them. He was a man of weakness, of meekness. He was a man of lowliness. And we find that in Ephesians chapter 4, that God has a magnifying plan for you and for me. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to cut in at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is God's magnifying plan for the perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints. The body of Christ, there's many gifts. Each one of us has a gift. And each of our gifts differ one from another. And I'm thankful for that. And God has given each one of us a gift to be used for His glory. In order that we might minister together in unity, there might be unity in the body of Christ. That there might be a perfecting, a maturing of each one of us as believers in our lives. The ultimate end is that we might all come in the unity of the faith. We might come together and grow and mature together in the things of the Lord. Ultimately, that we might be like Him, like the Lord Jesus Christ. That we might become like Him. Unto the maturing man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Is the fullness of Christ. Because He's meek, He's lowly in heart. And yet He wants us to be magnified. He wants us to grow up. He wants us spiritually to grow in Him. That we might grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's so much for us to learn. There's so much for our minds to gather in Scripture and to mold over and meditate and grasp a hold of. And God wants to magnify us. He wants us to come and to learn of Him and to know Him and to depend on Him day by day. And I think these are things that help us through the days in which we faced in the last week or so. God wants to magnify man. He has a plan for man that goes far beyond this world. The Lord Jesus Christ, Him being the one who loved us and gave Himself for us, that we might come into the knowledge of Him, that we might grow into the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ. Our time is just about gone. I just wanted to touch on one other thing in Luke chapter 7. Thou shouldst visit him every morning. We saw in Hebrews, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Job says, visit him every morning. God visits man every morning in the light of a new day. God visits upon man. His presence, his power, his might, he visits man. He visits man every morning, the start of a new day. Man might go forth and be magnified, be enlarged, to grow in the things of Him day by day. I wonder if we really look for Him in the morning, or are we too busy off in the day that is before us? Are we too busy to spend time with Him? But thou shouldst visit Him every morning. And try Him every moment. There's trials every moment. There's a battle of the mind, as by Satan. Man, we're faced with trials every moment. It's just a few thoughts from that portion there. It's something that we could continue to meditate on. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we do thank You for Your Word, and thank You for the simplicity of it. Thank You for Your servant Job and for the many things that we find. You reveal to us through him. They're so applicable today. Help us, Father, to find Your strength and comfort in Your Word. Help us to grow in the things of You and be established, and to not to be tossed about, but to stand firm in the rock Christ Jesus, who is our refuge. We give You thanks in Christ's precious name. Amen.